And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So that's the gospel. That's the good news here. But there's so much else going on in this reading that it's easy to lose sight of that. So I want to begin by having you remember it is the Father's, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me amplify that so that there is no doubt about what Jesus is giving us here. First, he identifies God as your Father. Now, we got this a couple of weeks ago when Jesus taught the disciples to pray by beginning calling God Father. God's not some far-off divine entity who needs to be flattered or cajoled into hearing you or doing good to you. He is your Father. He loves you. He's concerned for you, seeks your good, your redemption, your restoration to true and eternal life. And because he is your Father, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I should note that good pleasure here is the same phrase that the angels used when they sang to startled shepherds, that because the Savior was born, there was peace on earth and God had good pleasure toward all men and women. It is the same phrase God himself used to introduce Jesus to Israel at his baptism when the Father declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I have good pleasure." Because of Jesus, our Father delights to bring us to his kingdom and bring his kingdom to us. And his kingdom is nothing less than where Jesus reigns with his righteousness and his peace, his joy, his mercy, his love, his patience and kindness, his grace and forgiveness. Your Father delights to give all that to you, to give as a pure gift. No strings attached. It is yours. You have nothing to prove, nothing to earn. You don't have to show that you've deserved it. So fear not. Your Father loves you and gives you his Son. So go live in his grace with your lamps burning and dressed for action. But we don't really do that, do we? Or at least not as we should. You would think that it wouldn't be all that hard. The kingdom is great stuff. And living by its light is joy. And it's an easy thing. The burden is light. But we don't do it. Why? Well, we're a little slow, all of us, spiritually speaking, and we get caught up in anxiety. Now, our reading this morning follows right on the heels of what we heard last week when Jesus warned a nameless man and the crowds against covetousness, both the kind where we worry that we don't have our fair share or the kind where we become spiritually self-satisfied, thinking we have no need for God when we have everything we think we need already. Having given that warning, Jesus then specifically addressed his disciples, "Do not be anxious about your life." Now, it would seem that Jesus is anticipating an objection to his warning about being rich toward God in faith and trust and devotion rather than spending all your time and energy amassing things for yourself in this world. And the objection goes something like this: "But Jesus, if I don't lay up for myself, for my family, there's not going to be food on the table. They won't have proper clothes, a decent home. I have to take care to lay up things here and now. Otherwise, there's going to be trouble." And Jesus said, "Don't be anxious. Your Father knows what you need. Trust him. Receive the kingdom. Live by its light." But that's easier said than done, right? So two themes come back to us from our past weeks. First, that word anxiety. Turns out it's the same word that Jesus used when he gently chided Martha for being so busy as a host that she forgot what the good part was: to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. Jesus said that she was worried, that she was anxious about many things. And the word carries with it the notion of being burdened by many cares and of getting caught up in examining all the options and choices minutely to make sure that you're doing exactly the right thing, lest disaster ensue. The Father delights to give you the kingdom, but we get caught up in anxiety over our daily lives because we fear that if we don't get it all right, there is going to be disaster. But the counter to that anxiety is to remember the prayer that Jesus taught, specifically the phrase, "Give us the bread for this day." You may remember that when we talked about that prayer, we pointed out that having enough for the day really is enough. Learning to trust God and be content is something the Spirit has to pound into us as we remember God's faithfulness that has gotten us this far and which will not abandon us. Or St. Paul put it to the Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things with him? We have no cause for anxiety in Christ, and yet we give into it anyway. Why? Well, because we think we're in control, but finally we're not. Oh, sure, we can make better or worse choices, but the results are ultimately in God's hands. One of the farmers I served in the first congregation I was called to observed rightly, I can plant the best seed, use the right herbicides and insecticides, and get all the nutrients into the soil and still not get a single ear of corn if God didn't provide. Jesus makes the same point when he asks, who by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? We all have our tasks that we are called to, and we can trust God to provide according to his will and promise, but we are not in control. And yet we continue to act as if we are. Why? Because we are little faiths. Anxiety is merely the symptom. Little faith is the real problem. And just what is this little faith? Well, again, a lot of discussion has taken place around this phrase. On the one hand, grammatically, it can mean a faith, a trust in God and his promises that is small and weak and not very impressive. And yet, what did Jesus say about even a mustard seed-sized faith? It can move mountains, right? We know faith is a binary thing. You either have it or you don't. And whether that faith is weak or strong, whether it is big or small, faith receives the same gift, Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection, his spirit and grace, his kingdom. So I don't think Jesus is criticizing the size of their faith when he tells them that their anxiety comes from little faith. The other way to do the grammar here is to speak of exercising faith only a little, not very much, not very often. And I think that makes more sense here. I get caught up in anxiety about this, that, and the other thing when I'm not looking to Jesus, his promises, and the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. When Abram looked at his situation in our first reading, he could only be anxious that he had no heir, that no one had been yet born to him and Sarah, and that in his household the inheritance would pass to one of his servants rather than a son. But then when Abram listened to the Lord, Abram faithed, he trusted, he believed the Lord, and his anxiety was gone, and he was counted as righteous before God. And in the great roll call of faith that we heard from Hebrews, see how the believers of old were freed from anxiety by faith in God's work and promise in Christ, so that they didn't get worried that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, but instead looked forward to the promise, knowing that God had prepared a city for them. So we treasure the promises and work of God in Christ and his work in us, and that's where our hearts dwell. And this frees us from anxiety, and it frees us to serve. When we know that it is the Father's, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, you can pour yourself into seeking that and trust that God's going to take care of the rest. You can go ahead and give to the needy, for you trust that God will not leave you in need. You can be gracious and forgiving, peaceful and hopeful, for you know hope in Christ will not disappoint. You can let injustices that you've suffered go, for you know that you have a better calling, which is why we keep our lamps burning and remain ready for action, not anxious, but we remain vigilant and ready to greet our Savior and Lord, ready to do his work and to speak his word. So don't be anxious about your life, my friends. Have faith. And know it is the Father's, your Father's, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Even so, amen. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.